بعثنا من كل أمة بشهيد وجئنا بك على هؤلاء شهيدا يومئذ يود الذين كفروا وعصوا الرسول لو تسوى بهم الأرض ولا يكتمون الله حديثا
فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ
فَلَا تَرَدَّنَا يَا اللهم لا تردنا خائبين اللهم لا تردنا خائبين اللهم اغفر لنا في ليلتنا هذه المباركة
The most tender moments in the life of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were when his tears flowed. Huda Recording and Publishing presents Tearful Moments of the Prophet's Life, a heart-softening study of the Sunnah by Brother Yahya Ibrahim.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وبعد Surely all praise and glory is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His forgiveness, and we ask Him for His mercy. We testify and we state that there is no God or deity worthy of worship other than Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His worshipping slave and final messenger. I remind myself and you of the important ayah in Surah Al-Imran, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O ye who believe, اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون Be fearful, mindful, conscious, obedient of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the capacity that He is most deserving of you and do not die unless you are in the state of al-Islam. Alhamdulillah, once again it's with great pleasure that I find myself with my brothers and sisters here in the city of Austin in Texas in the United States. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has gathered us here to gather us all once again in Jannatul Firdaus with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. We have a very interesting 2 days coming up inshaAllah. Today and tomorrow we're going to be discovering some of the distinguishing characteristics of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a normal human being in many respects. But who was chosen, or as is stated in a lugha, istafahu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was chosen, and that's why one of his names is al-Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was chosen by Allah at a time where there was no heart that was greater in purity, greater in sanctity, greater in love, mercy, than the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are numerous hadith that allude to this fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet ﷺ says, نَظَرَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ He looked to the people on the earth at that time, and he saw that there was no cleaner heart, there wasn't a heart that was more pure than the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Allah looked to the hearts of the people once again, and saw that the most pure of hearts were those of the Sahaba, who would eventually be chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're going to be studying some of the most painful moments in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of the moments that were of the greatest weakness of the ummah, moments of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's personal tragedies, moments where
He was moved to tears due to the influences of others, due to his love for his ummah, due to situations that he found himself in or instances that arose in his leadership of the Muslim ummah. And in studying these, it brings us greater clarity of the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we come to see Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in these tearful moments, in these moments of weakness, of sorrow, of sadness, we come to find greater love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived a distinguished life. He lived a life that was for Allah, in the pursuit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the leadership of those who wish to come towards their Creator, Allah Al-Aziz Al-Rahim. So it is important for us to study the Sunnah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by looking at his life, not just in terms of the written or the oral transmission of the hadith, not just to say, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, the Prophet is reported to have said, but rather to see how these instances shaped his life and therefore shaped the life of the ummah that would come after him. So inshallah, over the next 2 days, we will have a series of 6 or 7 different discussions, inshallah, regarding pivotal moments, the different ahadith that are collected in the authentic traditions of the Prophet ﷺ, in the books of Bukhari and Muslim and Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood and Nisa'i and Ibn Majah. We will take these ahadith and look at these tearful moments or these moments of sorrow and analyze how the ummah is to benefit from them and how the Prophet ﷺ used them as a measure of instruction to those who were around him and therefore the rest of the ummah that would come after him. So we will study inshaAllah each of the different sessions, 2 or 3 different hadith. We will look at who the Sahaba involved were, a short biography of them. Who is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? Who is Umar ibn al-Khattab? How was this relevant to them? And the circumstances of the happening, what is the context of this particular hadith? And what is the context of the situation that evolved in it? And what are the fiqh points that the scholars of fiqh have extracted from all of these particular hadith? So it's a mighty, multi-dimensional study, inshaAllah, of these particular tearful moments and moments of sorrow from the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This now, our first discussion, is an introductory discussion. Coming to know what it actually means to be a prophet, or what it actually means to be a messenger. None of us are going to experience prophethood or messengership. But we need to understand what is the role that the Rasul and that the Nabi played in order to understand how these moments later on that would be experienced by the Prophet ﷺ are life-changing and ummah-changing events. So let us look at these two terms that we are all very familiar with from our readings of the Qur'an and the hadith and the sermons that we hear. An-Nabi, a prophet. What is a prophet? Well, when we study this word, Nabi, it means, and it comes from the root of Naba, to inform or to give knowledge. And therefore we read, عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَإِ الْعَظِيمِ. What is it that they are questioning about? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers, about the great news or the great bit of information. So a Nabi is someone, huwa mukhbir. He is someone who gives information, li'annahu ukhbir. A prophet is someone who instructs in knowledge that he has been informed of from a source that is unknown to the others. Knowledge that is given to him through wahy, through revelation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we see there are many places in the Qur'an where we find this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to the Prophet Muhammad, نَبِّئْ عِبَادِي.
نَبِّئْ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ.
Inform, using the word, the same root of Nabi, نَبِّ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Inform them that I'm the most forgiving, the most merciful. وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. But equally inform them that my punishment is the most tormenting for those who stray. Also Allah says, وَنَبِّئْهُمْ عَنْ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, and so on and so forth.
Then we come to the second word, or the second concept, which is Rasul. A Rasul is different than a prophet. And the scholars have come to terms with this and have explained this, as we will see inshallah in our progression, that a Rasul is, in the Arabic linguistic sense, someone who is ursil, someone who was given a message to deliver. So therefore, if I was to ask one of the brothers to deliver a message to the sisters in the next hall, in the next room, that person becomes my messenger. And therefore, there becomes a separation between knowing knowledge and teaching it, and being someone who is dedicated with a particular trait and a particular discipline that one is ordered and instructed to teach. So we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, regarding Bilqis, who was the woman who ruled the people at the time of Sulaiman, she said, when she was informed of a letter coming from Sulaiman asking her to submit to Allah,
وَإِنِّي مُرْسِلَةٌ إِلَيْهِمْ بِهَدِيَّةٍ فَنَاظِرَةٌ بِمَا يَرْجِعُ الْمُرْسَلُونَ.
She said, وَإِنِّي مُرْسِلَةٌ إِلَيْهِمْ بِهَدِيَّةٍ. I'm going to send someone with a gift to them as a messenger from myself, as an envoy, or as an ambassador. So that is the linguistic usage of this word. But we find that a Rasul is someone who has been given a specific instruction by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the difference between the prophets and the messengers? The prophets are those who were given the message of people who came before them. Prophets or messengers who came before them. So we find that Zakaria and Yahya and Isa were all prophets at the same time under the leadership of the Torah that was given to the Rasul Musa. They were ordered to maintain the traditions, the laws, the Sharia of Musa. So Yahya and Zakaria, the father Zakaria and his son Yahya, were prophets upon the tradition of Musa. Then Isa came. And Isa was different from Yahya and Zakaria because Isa was given an Injil, a new revelation. So now he had the transmission and he was ordered to give the new instruction of the new laws, as Allah says in Surah Al Imran,
وَمُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ مِنَ التَّوْرَاةِ وَلِأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَجِئْتُكُمْ بِآيَةٍ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُوهُ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ.
And Isa says, as part of his mission, is to make halal for you some of the things that the Torah has made haram. There were certain things that the Torah, in its dietary laws, in its financial practice laws, all of these things were very stringent. And they were the laws that were given to Musa. Isa came at a time where there was to be a new instruction. وَلِأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ. To make halal for you certain things that previously had been made haram. So we have an underlying principle. The underlying principle that we find, and this is what is important for us to understand, الرسول, a messenger, من أوحي إليه بشرع جديد. A messenger is one whom Allah has revealed to him a new sharia, a new system of governance and laws. والنبي هو المبعوث لتقرير الشرع الذي جاء به الرسول من قبله. And the prophets are those who came to revitalize the sharia that was sent with those who came before him. And therefore you find that there is a third segment of the prophets and messengers, those who were both prophets and messengers. Initially they came, as Isa came, as a prophet. But due to the corruption of the land and the way and the exaggeration that Bani Israel had done in transforming the Torah from its original set to changing it and changing from its rules, Allah brought down new legislation new wahi, the Injil, the gospel to Isa alayhi salam. So there are those who are prophets, and they are the vast majority. In the authentic hadith narrated by the Imam Ahmad, the Prophet ﷺ said, there are 124,000 prophets that were sent to mankind. And from those 124,000, there were 315 or slightly more messengers. And the scholars of Islam agree that every messenger began as a prophet. كُلُّ رَسُولٍ نَبِيٍّ وَلَيْسَ كُلُّ نَبِيٍّ رَسُولٍ. Every messenger is a prophet, but it is not necessary for every prophet to be a messenger. So we've come to understand these two terms. It will be important for us to understand the role of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we will see, the Prophet came down to follow the laws, as Isa has proclaimed in Al-Injil, as is recorded for us in the Quran, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the people and said to them, I have come to you with the same spirit of that which is found in Al-Injil, with the same laws as that which is found in the Torah. Very little dispute or difference between the ahkam, the rules and regulations of our traditions, and that of the people of the book. We come now quickly to see, once again as an introduction to our series, what are the duties, the wadaif, the duties of the prophets and the messengers. And it's important for us to see these seven distinct duties that the prophets and messengers are ordered to fulfill, so that we will see how each of these seven comes to play in these tearful moments and sorrowful moments of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first and most important duty is al-balagh, the conveyance of knowledge, the transmission of what they have been informed with, to give it to those who they are instructed to lead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal rasool.
Ya ayyuhal rasool, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbika wa in lam taf'al fama ballagta risalatah. والله يعصمك من الناس إن الله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين.
O Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. Transmit, convey that which has been revealed and given to you from your Lord. And if you do not convey every single thing, concept, instruction, word, letter, you have not fulfilled your duty to Allah. So therefore the prophets are ordered to perform al-balagh al-mubin, to give conveyance of knowledge in a clear light. Now, here once again we see the importance of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
وَاتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا.
وَاتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ. Allah simply says to the Prophet, recite to them what that which has been revealed to you from the book that your Lord has given. Now the Prophet ﷺ, in fulfilling this obligation, he can simply transmit to the Sahaba the letter for letter, the word for word, the ayah for ayah, transmission of the Qur'an. But in so doing, just this simple oral transmission does not fulfill the obligation of al-balagh, of conveyance of the knowledge. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْكُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا. Allah mentioned to us as Muslims, as we have sent to you a prophet who recites to you our verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later says to him, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرِ.
We brought down to you the reminder, the remembrance, the Qur'an, O Muhammad, so that you may make it easy for people to understand. So that you will show them in your deeds and in your practice how they are to use these verses.
بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالزُّبُرِ وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ
بَيِّنَهُ لِلنَّاسِ so that you may clarify it, explain it, make it clear for them in their day-to-day practice what has been revealed to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is important for us to understand. The first and most important duty of the Prophet is al-balagh, to transmit everything stated and to show its practice in its proper form, which is the tradition and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We conclude this point by the word of Aisha radiallahu anha, where when she was asked to describe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she says, كَأَنَّهُ الْقُرْآنِ يَمْشِي بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. It was as if he was a Qur'an walking amongst the people. Everything that he did, everything that he said, in one way or another, led back to the words of Allah. The second most important of actions of the Prophet, الدَّعْوَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. It is insignificant simply just to say, these are the words of Allah, and not call others towards it. The Prophet ﷺ and those who follow in his practice of calling towards Allah, it is important to perform الدَّعْوَةِ. Da'wah means to invite, to call, to show the reality of, so that people will become enticed by this particular discussion and particular belief that you have. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولٍ
وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ هَدَى اللَّهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الضَّلَالَةِ فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ
Sends for each and every ummah, each and every nation, each and every people, a rasul, a messenger, instructing them and saying to them clearly, أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ Worship none other than Allah, وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ And be distant and disavow at-taghut. At-taghut is anything that is worshipped and glorified in the way that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونَ
We never sent a prophet to any people except that he would say to them, there is only one God that is worthy of worship, so worship him alone. اِتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُوهُ has become the most famous statement of the prophets. Be mindful and fearing of Allah, have taqwa Allah and obey him, has been stated by all of the prophets in the different transmissions that we have found in the Quran. For example, in Surah Al-Shu'ara, this is the famous statement of all of the different prophets, Lut, wa Nuh, wa Ibrahim, wa Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Third is to perform the action of at-tabshir wa-tanzir. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all of the other messengers were ordered to perform at-tabshir, to give good news, and to give tanzir, to give a warning. Bashiran wa nadhira. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of his descriptive terms, Allah describes him as
Ya ayyuha an-nabiy inna أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا وبشر المؤمنين بأن لهم من الله فضلا كبيرا ولا تطع الكافرين والمنافقين ودع أذاهم وتوكل على الله وكفى بالله وكيلا.
شاهدا as a witness ومبشرا as a giver of good news ونذيرا and a warner to mankind وداعيا إلى الله and a caller unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala وسراجا منيرا a brilliant ember of light that people can be guided by.
وَمَا نُرْسِلُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْذِرِينَ وَمَا نُرْسِلُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْذِرِينَ وَيُجَادِلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ لِيُدْحِضُوا بِهِ الْحَقَّ وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِي وَمَا أُنذِرُوا هُزُوًا.
Allah says in Surah Al-Kahf, we send not the messengers except as mubashirina wa mundirin, as givers of glad tidings and as warners. Now, the syntax is very important. You do not find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning a warner before a giver of good news. It is from the characteristics of the da'i, of the one calling to Allah, to make things simple for the people, to give them hope, to give them a desire to do further good deeds. It is more important to do good than it is to stay away from evil. Think of this concept. As Muslims, we are taught by the Prophet ﷺ and we are taught through his sunnah that it is more important to perform al-ma'roof than it is to stay away from al-munkar. Not that that diminishes from the importance of staying away from al-haram. The reason we are asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do good is because the more good you do, the more of an inspiration and conviction it builds in you to stay away from the evil. Numerous instances in the life of the Prophet ﷺ and his Sahaba show that a person would be in a state of sin, but when he would fulfill the acts of worship and the acts of righteousness, it would allow him to overcome the difficulties that he faced that led him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the role of the Prophet is a bashir, a person who gives good instruction, fills the hearts of his believers with hope, with love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and equally as well as a warner, as a nadir. We also see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it as a fourth characteristic of the Prophets that they perform islahun nafs, purification of the souls of those who follow them with tazkiyah. They bring about a rectification of a person's being. They change a person's life from evil to good, almost instantaneously. We see numerous examples of this from the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person would come to him seeking to harm him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and within an instant you hear that this person had entered into the faith of Islam. You hear, for example, the story of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, seeking ill intent in his heart, wanting nothing more than to end the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he goes to his sister's home and hears just one or two verses from Surah Taha, and it fills him with conviction, with belief, changes his life. You hear the examples of Khalid ibn al-Walid, who was one of the most instrumental people before his Islam in the loss that the Muslims suffered during the Battle of Uhud. But yet you hear of him hearing of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hearing the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and submitting himself to Rasulullah and to the way of Allah and al-Islam. You hear the words of the people who would come for Hajj. The mushrikeen would say to them, as these pagans came from the different cities to perform their pre-Islamic Hajj, their Hajj of Jahiliyyah, the mushrikeen would say to them, put cotton in your ears so that you do not hear the words of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For if you hear them, they will cause you to leave your wife and your children to abandon you. That was the type of hysteria that was built around the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the fear that they had of the truth entering into the hearts. So we find the words of the Prophet ﷺ, the words of the Qur'an, his traditions, had a profound effect on people. They brought rectification. It brought about al-islah lil-nufus, changed the life and the conditions of people for the better, and it brought about at-tazkiyah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ash-Shura,
وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانُ وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا نَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ نَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ صِرَاطِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَلَا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَصِيرُ الْأُمُورُ.
Ya Muhammad, we gave you this book. You were unaware that it would come to you. You were not even hoping that you would be a prophet or a messenger. You didn't even know that there were prophets or messengers who had come before you and had been given messages in this way. مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابِ You did not know what the book would be. وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ Or what the meaning of conviction would be and true certainty of faith. وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا But we made it a light that was placed in your heart. صلى الله عليه وسلم نَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ نَشَاءُ We lead to guidance through it whom we will, subhanahu wa ta'ala, min ibadina, from those whom we have created, our servants. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as is stated for us in the Qur'an, he recited to us from the words of Allah, Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu. Allah is the wali, the protector, the friend, the aid of those who have faith in him. Yukhrijuhum min al-dhulumati ila al-nur. He extracts them, leads them out of the many shades of darkness into the one shade of the brilliance of light. And that is a profound parable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us, that a person can have many different ailments, many different levels of darkness. But when the huda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to him and his heart is blessed with the light of faith, he can see clearly around him. And for this reason, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the title and the label by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sirajan Munira. A siraj is a brilliant light. It's an ember, it's a flame that can be seen from many distances. It can be seen through the many different stages of darkness. Its light is unchanging in its power, in its strength. And that is the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا أَنْ أَخْرِجْ قَوْمَكَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ
وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا أَنْ أَخْرِجْ قَوْمَكَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ
The prophets and messengers were always instructed by Allah, as Allah says here in the Quran, in Surah Ibrahim, and we have ordered Musa and sent him as a messenger بِآيَاتِنَا with our signs and with our miracles and with our verses And أَخْرِجْ قَوْمَكَ Extract, lead out your people مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ From the darkness of shirk to the light of tawheed. Therefore we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a very simple analogy for us. فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارِ
فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارِ
In Surah Al-Hajj, Allah says, Surely it is not that the eyes cannot see or that the eyes are blind, but rather it is the heart that cannot perceive. It is the heart that is unaware of its true nature, of its true purpose in this life, of the soul and what it is required to perform towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ويعبدون من دون الله ما لا ينفعهم ولا يضرهم وكان الكافر على ربه ظهيرا وما أرسلناك إلا مبشرا ونذيرا.
In Surah Al-Furqan, Allah describes these types of people who have sight but cannot see, and who have hearing but cannot hear, and who have a heart but cannot understand. يَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ They worship in other than Allah and in conflict to what Allah has ordered, what has of no benefit to them and what cannot harm them. At times a person will be compelled to obey someone, not because he will benefit, but because you are afraid of the harm. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the things they worship are of no benefit and equally they are of no harm to them. So there is a waste of this worship that should be an only and solely dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we see the dua of Ibrahim and the other prophets calling for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the final messenger.
ربنا وابعث فيهم رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياتك ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويزكيهم إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم.
ربنا وابعث فيهم رسولا منهم. Oh Allah, send to them a messenger from amongst them, from amongst the normal people, from amongst the people who go into al-aswaq, who eat and who enjoy the different parts of life, and who have sorrowful, hurtful moments in their life that they experience, tearful moments, minhum yatlu alayhim ayatik, that this messenger will recite to them your verses, that they may come towards the truth and the light of Islam. Fifth, from the traits and from the characteristics and from the duties of the prophets and messengers, taqweem al-fikr, unifying the proper mode of thought, bringing about a true, for a lack of better words, philosophy or understanding of the nature of things and the order of things. And to bring about the true understanding of aqidah, the true understanding of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what it means to believe. كَانَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, mankind at one point in time before Nuh gathered together as one nation. It didn't matter what language, what color, what race. People after Adam for generation after generation, all of a sudden, كَانَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً They gathered as one people. فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ النَّبِيِّينَ مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ
أمة واحدة فبعث الله النبيين مبشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليحكم بين الناس فيما اختلفوا فيه وما اختلف فيه إلا الذين أوتوه من بعد ما جاءتهم البينات بغيا بينهم فهدى الله الذين آمنوا لما اختلفوا فيه من الحق بإذنه والله يهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم.
They gathered, these people were gathered upon other than the worship of Allah, so Allah was compelled and sought to send for us as human beings, messengers and prophets who will give us glad tidings and warn us of the evil that we may have fallen into. Here the scholars of Islam, Ibn Kathir and others, they give us very poignant and very important discussions regarding this verse. They say it is the nature of a human being due to the promise of the shaitan. The shaitan made a vow. He said, لَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ I will do my best to misguide them. And I will come to them, يَمِينِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ I will come from their right and from their left and from before them and from behind them. And I will leave none of them except until they disobey and are disbelievers in you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it a covenant with mankind from before our existence لتؤمنن, that you will believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have given this covenant that we will follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those of us who accepted have been led to the guidance of Allah azza wa jal. So it is important for us to understand that the nature of a human being who is created upon al-fitra, who is created upon the natural inclination to submit himself to Allah, it is part of our makeup that due to the two negative influences in our life, there are two things that lead us away from Allah. Everything in life that leads us away from Allah has this one of these two roots. Ash-shubha, doubts. We're not sure what is right, what is wrong. Someone has said something that has caused doubt. We don't have the knowledge to answer the questions that are put before us. Or shahwa, desire. Those are the only two reasons. A lustful desire or a doubtful concept. These are the two reasons that mankind have within them that lead us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we do not seek to come towards Allah. And therefore Allah in many places in the Quran, He says, إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَيْنِ. Allah leads you to the place where you choose. There's two paths. إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. Either you will be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and shukr is the essence of ibadah. To be thankful, it means that you have the word kufr in Islam, the concept of kufr, is to be ungrateful. So the one who is grateful to Allah, meaning who worships Allah in thanks to what He has given him, فَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. And the one who is kafura, the one who is ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not recognize that all that he is and all that he has is from Allah, then he has left the way of Islam. إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, لَا إِكْرَاهَ فِي الدِّينِ. There is no compulsion in the matters of faith or religion. مَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Allah says in the Quran as well, the one who wishes to believe, let him believe. The one who wishes to be ungrateful and to enter into kufr, let him be ungrateful and enter into kufr. So therefore, the nature of a human being is that he has been given this choice by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and people at a point in time before Nuh gathered upon kufr. So the balance that brings back humanity towards the worship of Allah are the prophets and the messengers. And that's why it took the greatest prophet and the greatest messenger to be the final prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, to countermeasure all of the kufr and all of the shirk that would later happen in his ummah. Think of it in this way, that for every ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to counterbalance the sins of the people, the kufr of the people, the shirk of the people, He would have to send messengers and prophets. Bani Israel, at one point in time, they would have not one, not two, not three, but at times 10 prophets to counterbalance. We see all of the kufr and shirk that may be found within the lands around the world. We know that there is no prophet or messenger coming after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that shows you the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This one man and this tawheed that he was given counterbalances all of the sin that we see and we experience and we hear of. Because of his greatness sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. He was sent to us to give us the upright way, the deen of Ibrahim, Hanifa, the way of Abraham, the way of the ancient prophets of Islam, the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So one of their missions of the prophets is to lead people to the correct understanding, to lead them to the way of Allah and the way of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number 6 and second to last, إقامة الحجة. The prophets, one of the most important role is that they are a proof and evidence. They are the proof of burden. They are a proof against and for mankind in terms of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa,
رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بعد الرسل وكان الله عزيزا حكيما.
We have sent for them a multitude of messengers, mubashirin, givers of good news and glad tidings, wa mundirin, and warners, so that لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ, so that mankind cannot come later on and say we did not receive evidence and proofs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that will be the first hadith that we study from the tearful moments of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he comes to recognize that the weight of the ummah is upon his shoulders. He is the one who will be shaheed, the one who will be shahid, the one who will be a witness over all of the ummah of Islam from his moment until the day of judgment. And this brings him a calling towards Allah Azza wa Jal. So the prophets and messengers, they are a point of evidence, a proof of burden. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Taha,
وَلَوْ أَنَّا أَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِهِ لَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا لَوْلَا أَرْسَلْتَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا فَنَتَّبِعَ آيَاتِكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ نَذِلَّ وَنَخْزَى قُلْ كُلٌّ مُتَرَبِّصٌ فَتَرَبَّصُوا فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ أَصْحَابُ الصِّرَاطِ الشَّوِيِّ وَمَنِ اهْتَدَى.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, had you Allah, the mushrikeen, the people will say, O Allah, if you had only sent to us a prophet or a messenger before you brought upon us the torment and the punishment, we would have followed what you have said. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown that the message of Islam and the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as he has said in the authentic hadith, shall enter into every home, in every place, at one point or another, people will come to hear of him sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the message of al-Islam. وَيَوْمَ نَبْعَثُ فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ شَهِيدٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Nahl,
وَيَوْمَ نَبْعَثُ فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ شَهِيدًا عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ.
And when we will send in every ummah a shaheed, a person who is a witness. And on the day of judgment, when Allah will bring a witness against every nation, from amongst themselves, a prophet from them, to say, I have delivered the message, I have delivered the teachings, I have delivered the knowledge, and we will bring you, O Muhammad, as a witness upon them. Before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his final khutbah in Arafah, his final hajj, he stood up in his farewell hajj speech, and after instructing the people near the end of it, he said, Allahumma inni qad ballaght, O Allah, witness that I have conveyed the knowledge. Fashhad, O Allah, bear witness. And then the Prophet pointed to the heavens and pointed down to the people gathered with him on the Mount of Arafah. And Allah brought down the verses in Surah Al-Ma'idah regarding the completion of the faith of Islam, that الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ, on this day your religion has been completed for you.
الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا فَمَنِ اضْطُرَّ فِي مَخْمَصَةٍ غَيْرَ مُتَجَانِفٍ لِإِثْمٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ.
وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي, and I have completed my favor upon you. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا, and I am pleased that Islam is the only way of life for you to have. Finally, the prophets were sent to be leaders of nations. It's important for us to note that Islam is not simply just a religion that seeks to have individuals in the masjid or in the mosque praying, fasting, and leaves all avenues in life. This is one of the negative effects that we find in our times today. Part of the effects of modernism is that the people who began to govern Muslim land, they said to the religious leaders, you stay in the masjid, and you teach people Quran, and you teach people hadith, and leave things like politics and military and war and ethics to us. And there became this separation, not a separation of church and state in that sense, but a separation of ideologies. And to this day you see the effects. You will find that in certain places, that the people who are most out of touch with what is happening in the world and the geopolitical and economic systems in the world are people who are given the most important admonitions to the Muslim. They have lost touch in certain aspects of what is truly happening. But this was never the case, and that was never the intent. We see the Prophet ﷺ was involved in all aspects of the worldly life, was involved in all aspects of the spiritual life. He would take the opinions of his Sahaba in matters of war. Where should we put Al-Khandaq? Where should we put the trench to bar the mushrikeen from entering Medina? Where should we lay siege? The Prophet ﷺ would speak about economics and about the rights. Who has more right to the land and who has more right to the water? All of these things, everything involved, was sent to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So we see that the final mission was to be a leader of an ummah, a leader in all respects, in the spiritual and in the respect of the worldly life. So we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
يا داود إنا جعلناك خليفة في الأرض فاحكم بين الناس بالحق ولا تتبع الهوى فيضلك عن سبيل الله إن الذين يضلون عن سبيل الله لهم عذاب شديد بما نسوا يوم الحساب
فاحكم بينهم بما أنزل الله إليك. Rule amongst them by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent for you to govern them with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also said to other prophets, Ya Dawood, O Dawood, O Prophet of Allah, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاكَ خَلِيفَ. We have made you a khalifa, a vice regent, someone who is ruling on earth as a representative of those who came before you. فِي الْأَرْضِ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Give governance, rule amongst people, بِالْحَقِّ, with the truth that has been sent to you. All of the prophets, all of the messengers had this duty. It was not just simply leading the prayers and reciting the Qur'an, but it was governance, it was instruction, it was laws, it was military, it was punishment, it was economics. Everything came in tune in the life of the prophets and the life of the ummah. With this we conclude our study, our introduction to the role of the prophets, to the role of the messengers. Inshallah, after Salatul Asr, after a short break, we will begin with our first session regarding the actual sorrowful and tearful moments of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, moments where he felt sorrow, moments where he felt tears welling up inside him, and we will seek to extract the lessons from them, insha'Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us successful in all that we do. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. وبعد، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. We always begin with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and send the peace and the salutations upon His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam wa ba'd. We are now within our series of getting to know Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are going to be focusing on some of the more tragic and stressful situations that he encountered in his life, things that were pivotal in the shaping of his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the belief of the ummah that was in following him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his traditions. In this session we're just going to look at two hadith that are related to one another by their relationship towards the Qur'an, the word of Allah azza wa jal. So we're going to look at two of these important hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as hadith wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was moved to tears. And therefore these are the first tearful moments that we begin to study from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu wa ardaah قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اقرأ علي القرآن. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, this famous Sahabi of the Prophet ﷺ, he says one day the Prophet turned and said to me, يا ابن مسعود, recite for me the Qur'an. قلت له يا رسول الله, I said to him, O Messenger of Allah, أقرأ عليك وعليك أنزل. Am I to read to you the Qur'an, and the Qur'an was in fact revealed to you, meaning I learned it from you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال, إني أشتهي أن أسمعه من غيري. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I crave, I delight in listening to the recitation of the Qur'an from other than myself. فقرأت سورة النساء. So I began reciting سورة النساء from its beginning. حتى بلغت, until I reached verse number 41. فكيف إذا جئنا من كل أمة
فكيف إذا جئنا من كل أمة بشهيد وجئنا بك على هؤلاء شهيدا يومئذ يود الذين كفروا وعصوا الرسول لو تسوى بهم الأرض ولا يكتمون الله حديثا.
How will it be on that day when we bring from every nation a witness? وجئنا بك على هؤلاء شهيدا. And we bring you, meaning you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon this ummah as a witness over them. فَقَالَ لِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud audibly with a loud voice, حَسْبُك. Enough for now. فَرَفَعْتُ رَأْسِي. So I raised my head to look at him صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَإِذَا دُمُوعُهُ تَسِيلُ. And I saw in his face that the tears were flowing from his eyes. This hadith is narrated to us by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam Ahmad, and many of the scholars of hadith. This is a significant hadith. It shows us the devotion that the Prophet ﷺ had for the Qur'an, the love that he had for the Qur'an, wherein he would use a word such as ashtahi, I crave, I delight, I seek, I want to listen to it, not just to read it, from other than myself. We find in this hadith a sense of being of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this Qur'an to him was not just simply something put upon him as a task. The risala of Islam was not just a burden upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he had to carry and was a job that he fulfilled.
ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى.
طه, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, we did not reveal this Quran down to you as a burden. إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى. It was sent as a reminder for those who have faith and have a sense of awe and who are mindful and fearful of Allah. تذكرة لمن يخشى. So we see that the Prophet ﷺ is the first and head first in this example. Let us begin to study this hadith word for word, sentence by sentence, to see its importance and gravity. All of us agree that the Qur'an is the most important link between Allah and us, humanity. In different ahadith, some of them weak, some of them hasan, we see the Qur'an being referred to as Hablullah. We see the hadith of Ali, although it is not a complete authentic hadith, that the Qur'an is referred to as Hablullah al-Mateen. In places in Surah Al Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ, hold on to the rope of Allah.
وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ.
فَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and do not disband. The implication of Hablullah or the rope of Allah is the Qur'an. So we see that the most significant handhold, the most significant thing that we hold on to as Muslims in our day-to-day life is the Qur'an, and therefore it is the most used form of ibadah. There is no ibadah that a person performs more in his day-to-day life than the utterance of the Qur'an. I want you to think of the prayer that we just performed a few minutes ago. The Prophet ﷺ says, "As-salah bighayri fatiha la tasih." Prayer without reading the Fatiha is unaccepted. The basis of our prayers is the recitation of the Qur'an. The basis of our dua is the recitation of the Qur'an. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he mentions, the most often remembered dua of the Prophet, and also of us as Muslims, if you were to count your dua, is, Allahumma atina fid dunya hasana, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةِ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, extracted from the Qur'an. The dua that we make and the Prophet make, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْ, taken from the Qur'an. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, taken from the Qur'an. Alhamdulillah, taken from the Qur'an. الرحمن الرحيم, taken from the Qur'an. اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّومِ, taken from the Qur'an. The last two verses of Al-Baqarah, taken from Al-Qur'an. When you come to sleep, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. The most times of worship of the believer is the recitation of the Qur'an. So here we see the Prophet ﷺ showing us this importance, indirectly showing it to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Who is Ibn Mas'ud? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is one of the people the Prophet ﷺ said, as is narrated by Imam al-Bukhari, خُذُ الْقُرْآنَ مِنْ أَرْبَعَ. If you're going to learn the Qur'an as being something that I have taught, learn it from four people. Who do you think he began by naming? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu wa arda. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, according to the consensus of the Ummah, according to the ijma' of the Sahaba and the people of his time, him and Abdullah ibn Abbas are the most knowledgeable of the words of Allah after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To the point, as is reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi, that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, Wallahi, by Allah. And the Sahabi knows the gravity of saying Wallahi, by Allah. Inni la'alam, I am have full certain knowledge of where every verse, kulla ayah, nazalat, where it was revealed, which locality, which physical area. وفي من نزلت, and to whom it was in context of, and who heard it from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam being recited. So this Sahabi is no small individual. In fact, that is a pun. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was a man of a very small stature. He today, in our normal terms, in our vernacular, we would describe him as a dwarf. He was a man who was very short, very small in stature, very skinny. As is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari, one day a quick moving wind came and pushed the Sahabi up into a tree. The wind picked him up and put him in a tree, and this uncovered parts of his leg. So the Sahaba, they looked at his leg and they began to laugh. انظروا إلى دقة ساقي. Look how skinny his legs are. And the Prophet ﷺ said, أتضحكون من دقة ساقي. Are you amused and jest and laugh about this thinness and the slightness of his legs? والله إنهن يوم القيامة, on the day of judgment, these legs, each of them shall be the size of Uhud. The size of Uhud due to his weight, due to his thawab, due to his rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take no assumptions of this small statured man. He was the man who killed Abu Lahab. He was the man in the battle of Badr with his own sword who fell upon Abu Lahab, ending the life of the greatest of those who opposed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the time. As is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud stood in front of Abu Lahab, and Abu Lahab laughed and said to him, it would not be a man of your size who would end my life. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud stood on his chest due to the smallness of his size and was the one who ended his life and brought his sword with the blood of Abu Lahab to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. This was not a normal man, neither in size nor in his deeds. So here we see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting with Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, one of the most knowledgeable people of the Qur'an, and the Prophet wahuwa, and he is the one who is of benefit to others. The Prophet is the one who is teaching others. Now he is asking his student, اقرأ علي, recite to me. This immediately would force the student to feel a sense of fear. And as such, you see hidden in this hadith that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, when he told me to stop, I raised my head to look at him. Out of shyness of the Messenger Muhammad ﷺ, out of humbleness, he couldn't look towards the Prophet ﷺ while reciting the Qur'an because it was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, أَقْرَأُ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَيْكَ أُنزِلْ. I recite to you when it was revealed to you, Ya Rasulullah. Here is one of the most pivotal lessons that we learn. That the one who is a teacher, and the one who is an instructor, the father, the mother, the teacher, the imam, the sheikh, whoever it may be, has and is to have no shame in acquiring and learning from that who is normally seen as lesser than him. Al-Fadil, the one who is given fadl, giving it off to others, yata'allamu, is allowed to learn and is allowed to seek, and there is no shame in acquiring from the one who is less than him in stature and knowledge. Why is it that the Prophet ﷺ wished to read, to hear the Qur'an from other than him? Could you imagine being Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, each and every day, he is the one who is instructing people in the Qur'an. Here he is saying to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, show me what you have learned. Show me how you have acquired this knowledge from me. It is a test to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud as a way of proving to himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he is fulfilling his obligations towards Allah. As well, it is a way of encouraging Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. It is a way of giving Abdullah ibn Mas'ud a certification. Can someone now from the Sahaba come and say to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who are you to teach us the Qur'an? When he is the one who, one of the people the Prophet ﷺ listened to the Qur'an from, also from the other four people, and this is from the lata'if, from the beautiful subtleties of hadith, all of the four individuals whom the Prophet mentioned, such as Ubay ibn Ka'b and others, all of them the Prophet listened to their recitations. One day, as is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari, the Prophet was walking by the house of Ubay ibn Ka'b, وَتَأَذَّنَ لِأُبَيْ. He lent an ear to Ubay because he could hear Ubay from inside his home reading the Qur'an. And the Prophet stopped, stood outside the home of Ubay ibn Ka'b, not speaking to anyone, just standing there, listening to the recitation of Ubay. And he sees him the next morning and he says to him, لَوْ رَأَيْتَنِي أَتَأَذَّنُ لِقَرَاءَتِكَ. If you would have seen me yesterday, standing outside your home, listening to your recitation of the Qur'an, subhanallah. So the Prophet ﷺ, as a way of encouragement, as a way of certification of these select sahaba, as a way of proving to others that no matter how knowledgeable you are, you can gain benefit from others, he listens to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. But here is an important context. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud does not take it as a matter of arrogance and as a matter of conceitedness. He doesn't immediately begin reciting the Qur'an to the Prophet ﷺ. Rather, istaghfar. He asks permission in a subtle way. He says to him, Ya Rasulullah, am I to read to you when it was revealed to you? Meaning, it is not my place to transgress this bound. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. How can I transgress above your bounds, Ya Rasulullah? So the Prophet says, Inni ashtahi. I love, I crave to hear this Qur'an being recited from other than me. We need to pause with this sentence. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, ashtahi, I crave, I have desire, I have a need, I have a want to listen to the Qur'an being read by other than myself. Honestly, my brothers and sisters, this desire that is within the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَهُوَ مَنْ هُوَ, and he is who he is. He is the one who the Qur'an is revealed to. How much of a desire do we have in not just listening, but seeking to understand? The Qur'an is not just a set of, it's not like music, it's not something in the background, it's not something that we just hear to relax, but in it is contained a message. The Prophet wishes to hear from the Qur'an so that it would be something that he is reminded of in his life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us,
وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ وَاذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُّعًا وَخِيفَةً وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ وَلَا تَكُنْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ.
When the Qur'an is read, be silent and open your ears to it. Listen to it. Ansitu. Now, this verse, the Mufassirin, they have shown that this verse is in reference to those who are in the state of prayer. But its hukm is aam. Its general ruling is also applicable, that the Qur'an has a sense of reverence. We must be in awe of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see the great Sahabi Hudhayfa ibn al-Yamam, he had a copy of the Qur'an that he used to have, and after he finished reading the Qur'an, he would put the Qur'an upon his face and he would begin to weep. And he would say, هَذَا كَلَامُ رَبِّي هَذَا كَلَامُ رَبِّي. These are the words of my Lord.
كيف إذا جئنا من كل أمة بشهيد وجئنا بك على هؤلاء شهيدا.
Please proceed to next CD.